I don't know what that was. Well, you like singing, Piper? I like when you're up here singing. It helps me. Helps me sing. All right, announcements. We got Saturday is Christmas party, 5 o'clock. And I think the sign-up sheet's already picked up, and so... yeah, if you're planning on going, go ahead, Shirley. You got a question? Yes, we'll have Wednesday night service. We will do that. There will be Wednesday night service. Christmas party Saturday 5, and then Sunday is the special evangelistic service. And so invite friends, and it'll be a great opportunity to preach the gospel. And then also we'll have the children's church going to be doing the program, and that's going to be amazing. That'll be great, and have a lot of fun with all of that. So there'll be one service Sunday at 11 o'clock. So one service all day, one service at 11 o'clock. And so Sunday we'll have one service, one big service, and then yes, next Wednesday we will have service next Wednesday, so that'll be Christmas Eve there. So all right, I think those are the announcements. I don't think I forgot anything. Okay. Oh man, all right. We're going to talk about Joseph this evening, and Matthew chapter 1 is where we are preaching from. Joseph is a good man. He's a good man. You know, when you consider that when God the Father and God the Son, the Word, and the Holy Ghost decided what family they would pick to have Jesus Christ enter into the world. That was an important decision, and that wasn't just something that they just draw names out of a hat or something. And I think of it this way. I mean, these Mary, as we talked about her in Sunday school, faithful soul. Joseph is a faithful soul. And so, I don't know if I should tell you this now or tell you this at the end of this, but it's like Reader's Digest, you know, just tell you the end of the thing here. I'll tell you, I think about it this way. You know, when the Lord said through Paul in Galatians, he said it in the fullness of time, that's when Jesus Christ was brought forth. I always wondered about that statement. Like, what were the events and what was the coming to completion? And why was it at that time that all these elements, whatever they were, come to completion? And I think of it this way. I don't know if this is the explanation, but I just think of prophecy in general this way in the words of God. But it's like I think of it like a farmer or gardener. And when that gardener, that farmer plants a seed, he knows what's coming up. I mean, he knows what's going to come up. And he knows what the fruit's going to look like. And he knows, you know, what the characteristics of it and all that kind of stuff. And the same with the Word of God. When God planted the Word of God years and years ago, it comes to fruition. And I guess in Mary and Joseph's life, they fulfill all of the parameters that were set in place. They were of the line of David. They were a faithful people, and so all of the criteria in their lives would be met, and timing was right. And all that kind of thing. And so it was just the fulfillment of the fullness of time. It was like the fruit that was going to be born. The gardener just goes out to the garden, and the fruit's there. It's taken its time. It's the seed's been planted. It's been watered, and now here it is. And so, I think of prophecy like that, you know, in general. But prophecy, the spirit of prophecy is Jesus Christ, and so He is the center of everything, and He was called the Word before He was named Jesus Christ. So He's all through everything that's in Scripture is ultimately a reference or some shadow of Him. But prophecy is, it's like the Lord plants the seed, or even the devil plants his own tares and things like that. And when the Lord says, well, look, what's going to happen is this is going to happen down the road. It's almost like a farmer saying, well, in a few months, you're going to start seeing some leaves. And in a few months, this will happen, and this thing will come out of the ground, and this will come out of the ground. It's like somebody who's never seen a watermelon before, and somebody plants a watermelon, and they're trying to explain it to them, like, well, in a few days, the thing's going to come out of the ground. It'll have some leaves and start growing some leaves. And in a few weeks, it'll get bigger and the vine start vining out and all that kind of stuff. And you're just explaining the process of the fruit. And this is what's going to happen. And so for the Lord to just explain this is what happens, you know, in the future, it's almost like, I don't know, that's the way I think of it. It's just like a farmer just explaining to somebody, this is what happens with the seed. This is just what how it's going to grow. And so anyhow, I say all that to say Joseph is he's a faithful man. Mary's a faithful lady, and the reason I think that Jesus Christ comes at this time in history is because several things that God had said and put in motion have culminated and come together. And with this couple, they meet the requirements that God had put in motion here. And so Matthew chapter 1 verse 18, and when we go through this, maybe it'll make more sense at the end, because you'll see just how Joseph lives his life. It really is, it's true the Lord didn't. Mary and Joseph are not just random people. They're people that are faithful, and that God entrusts with His only begotten Son, and so that's an important thing. So Matthew chapter 1 verse 18, the Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise: when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost, and Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Amen to that. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus." All right, let's pray, and give you three things about Joseph, and then we'll kind of revisit what we just talked about prophecy and the fullness of times and things like that. But let's pray. Father, thank you for these words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the righteousness that is given freely by faith. And thank you for giving us the truth. I can't imagine living life without the truth. Radio, TV, internet, I mean, where in the world would you get truth from? But I thank you for giving us your words. We're not deserving of them, but you've given them to us. Thank you for each soul that's here. I pray you bless each soul for being here and enjoy the time singing. I pray that everybody here would get a blessing for being here and get something from you and those watching at home, those that are sick. I pray that you'd heal up their bodies, and those that are traveling, that you'd get them home safely. And just thank you again for this opportunity to gather together. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the first thing you notice, or you can notice about Joseph, he's a merciful man. He's a gentle man. He is a kind man, and he is somebody that Jesus Christ would describe as merciful and sort of just a not vengeful person, not a hateful person. But it's because of his relationship with the Lord, I think, that he is this way. He has this character about him. And when he finds out that Mary is pregnant, of course, the story that, you know, oh, this is God's child, that's really not going to fly unless there's some miracle. So when he finds out that Mary's pregnant, and his first reaction is not what really, I don't know what the percentage of people, but probably most people would do, is start to badmouth their fiance. I mean, it would just be, I don't know if it would be all over Facebook or whatever, but it would just be in the gossip circles. It would just be all over the place. And, you know, you can't believe what she's doing, and I can't believe this, and all that kind of thing. But Joseph is different. He doesn't treat this situation like this. When he finds out Mary's pregnant, the Bible says he was minded to put her away privily. It's privately. And so his first thought is not vengeance. It's not hate. His first thought is just sort of an equitable dealing if he was in her situation. He just said, you know, I'd just rather just go quietly with this and, you know, break off the relationship and not have a whole bunch of people know about it. And he was. That's what he was doing. He's a very gentle man. He's a very kind man. And so his thought is not vengeance. It's not hate. It's not gossip. It's protection for Mary. It's just, you know what? She's hurt me really bad. At least he thinks at this time, because he doesn't know the whole story yet. And he's hurt really bad. And but instead of trying to hurt her, he deals with the pain a different way than most people would deal with it. He deals with it almost the way, I don't say almost, he deals with it the way God would deal with it. And so he seeks to put her away privately. And I'm reminded of what Jesus Christ will say in a couple chapters. It says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And that's Joseph. Mercy is one of those things. It really endears people to the merciful person. The Bible talks about multiple times in Proverbs about mercy, and he that is merciful is good to his own soul, but he that's unmerciful doeth harm to his flesh, or something like that. I mean, mercy is an endearing quality. And so Joseph is a merciful man. And the Bible says of him in verse 19, he's a just man. That's interesting. And I've said it before, but I think it's worth noting. He's a forgiving man. He's a man that, like I said, I mean, he doesn't want to hurt Mary in any way. Even though he's been hurt, or at least he at this point in time, he thinks he's been hurt. But he's a just man. And the Bible says about God, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And I'd never, that clicked a few years ago, and it's like I've been saying, you know, we don't want God's justice and things like that. You want God's mercy. And it's like, well, those, they're part of the same thing. Someone who's equitable and someone who is just, when a person is seeking out forgiveness, the equitable person will give them forgiveness. So anyway, Joseph is a just man. And he is someone who rules his spirit well. The Bible says of a just man, I'll just give you these from Proverbs. It says, the tongue of the just is as choice silver. That's good. I mean, he doesn't say a bunch of garbage, and he protects what he says. And so the things that are going to come out of Joseph's mouth are good things. Another thing, it says, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. The way of the just is uprightness. And so Joseph is just, he's a merciful, just, kind man. That's the man God chose to birth Jesus Christ into the world through. I mean, that's the family that he chose, Mary and Joseph. And so one thing, there's a great lesson in this right off the bat. And not letting your emotions be your guide. And I say that because Joseph doesn't have all the information yet, and he really could fly off the handle. I mean, he really could do something really stupid. But he doesn't do that. And he guards his spirit, and he protects his spirit, and he protects Mary. And just remember, before you fly off the handle, or, you know, you may not have all the information yet. You just may not have all the information. So, and sometimes you don't, sometimes you do, but sometimes you don't. And so, anyhow, first thing about Joseph, his mercy. He's minded to put her away privately, but ultimately he hasn't really been wronged in any way, so he's going to find that out. There's nothing bad has happened here. Nothing evil has happened. There's no wickedness here in the relationship. So Joseph, being a just man, he's a faithful man. And so the way the Lord deals with Joseph is through his words. And so he's going to explain the situation to Joseph through an angel here. And an angel shows up in a dream. And I guess that's what it says in a dream. But verse 20. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with a child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, being interpreted as God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. So that what happens is, God deals with faithful people through his words. So he explains the situation. He even references, it looks like, even references scripture here, and points Joseph to a verse. I don't know if the angel says this, but it's mentioned here by Matthew. It says this is why it's happening. And so, because Joseph is a faithful man, he gets consolation in a circumstance that looks bad. And here's the lesson here, or a lesson you can learn from it. There is consolation to be had when people believe the words of God. But when people don't believe the words of God, if Joseph doesn't believe what God tells Joseph about the situation, you know what Joseph believes about the situation? He believes Mary has had a child by somebody else. And so his interpretation of the whole circumstance is wrong. But if he just believes God, then he gets the right interpretation. He gets consolation. He gets peace. And all of those things come from just believing what God said. So God finds a faithful man in Joseph, and he knows, if I tell this man what I'm doing, this man will believe what I'm saying. And in believing what I'm saying, he'll get the consolation and the peace about the situation that he needs. So the Bible says this about a just man, again. It says, for the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. So Joseph, he's given peace about what the Lord's doing because he simply believes what God said about the situation. So understand this lesson. Understand this lesson. The peace of God is the result of having faith in what God said. So the reason Joseph is okay with the situation when he wakes up is because he believes what God said about the situation. So his first thoughts were, Mary's done something bad, and I'm just going to have to break this relationship off, but I don't want to make it a public deal. And while he's thinking about all that stuff, the angel of the Lord explains to him what's going on. And after the angel of the Lord explains to him what's going on, Joseph has peace about it. And again, the reason he has peace about it is because he just believes what God said about the situation. So you can find peace when you have the right interpretation of things, and you only get the right interpretation of events when you listen to what God said about the thing. So I mean, that goes for relationships, that goes for I don't know, serving God, it goes for everything in our lives. So Joseph gets consolation. He's a merciful man. He receives consolation because of him believing the words of God. And because of all this, the words of God give him peace about something very touchy, and or could be. But he has peace about this. And so this faith and this belief and this trust in God, it has characterized Joseph's life apparently for a while. It's not a new thing with Joseph. Again, when you first met Joseph back here earlier in chapter 1, he's a merciful man because I think he has a good relationship with God. That's why he's a merciful man. And he has faith in what God said. God can trust him with his words. And so because of that, his behavior is a certain way. He acts a certain way. He controls his spirit in a certain way. He hadn't let things get out of control because he's, or at least emotionally out of control because he's guided by the Holy Spirit of God. So the third thing is his walk. Joseph walks by faith, and the Bible says over and over throughout the Bible, the just shall live by faith. Joseph is a just man. So you know just by God's characterization of this man being a just man, that his walk is by faith. That's how he walks. That's the way he conducts his business. And so the Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, things like that. And so it's, I think sometimes we think of it maybe as a theoretical righteousness, but it's more than that. It's a practical righteousness. It's a walk. It's a behavior. And so here's what Joseph's going to do in chapter 2. This is the last thing we'll look at. But along with him getting some peace about the situation with Mary, after Jesus is born, there's just all this whole Jesus Christ entering the world through Mary and Joseph, through Mary really, but into Mary and Joseph's family. I mean, they're 1 minute there, just sort of a couple that's just, I don't know, just maybe getting ready for a wedding and all that. And their lives are just completely turned around within a few months. So Mary has the baby, has Jesus. And Jesus is a young child. Herod goes after Jesus. And you know the story in Matthew chapter 2. Herod goes after him and kills all the children that are 2 years old and younger and all that. But here's what Joseph is told to do. And because God can trust this man with what he says, he can trust this man to take care of Jesus Christ. So with Herod trying to chase down and kill these babies, here's what the angel says, or here's the message Joseph gets in Matthew chapter 2, verse 12. The Bible says, "And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country." That's the wise men. So the wise men go a different way out. "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son." Interesting. So the Lord, Joseph is a trustworthy man. He's a faithful man. When Herod goes after the children, the angel of the Lord goes to Joseph and says, "You need to take the family down to Egypt." And Joseph doesn't question that. He doesn't hem and haw about it. He doesn't complain about it. At least it's not none of that's recorded. The fact is, he just did what he was asked to do by God. And so that is the very definition of the just shall live by faith. He's a just man. He's been given the words of God. And he conducts his life in the way in accordance with what God says here. The Bible says this about these things, about the just, for instance, in Proverbs. It says, "But through knowledge shall the just be delivered." Proverbs chapter 12, "The just shall come out of trouble." Interesting, just a couple things about the just man. So God's characterization of Joseph, he's a just man. He's a merciful man, he's a kind man, he's a gentle man, he's a faithful man. And so what God finds, what I think God finds in Mary and Joseph, they fulfill the line of David. They're both in the line of David. They are both faithful souls. These are not, like I said at the beginning, these are not people that God just picked out of a hat somewhere and said, "Wham, you're gonna get Jesus." These are people that fulfill the prophecies, the things that were said about the Messiah, and these are people that God can entrust with Jesus Christ as a baby. And so through all of that, when Paul says something like in the fullness of time, I think God at this point in time, maybe I'm wrong in saying this, but it just makes sense to me that there's a reason, and the timing and the fruit and the whole thing had come together here in this couple, Mary and Joseph. They have the right heritage. They're from the right line. They're faithful people. Maybe they're the only two faithful people that are there in Beth. I don't know. But these are the folks that meet the qualifications. Joseph certainly is a faithful man. He is certainly a good man. He's certainly a kind man. And so when you know that when God the Father and the Word, who is Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost, and when they all figured out what family Jesus Christ is going to be born in, that wasn't just a careless decision. That was something that was carefully considered about what family he's going to be in. And these are the folks that God chose, and Joseph is a good man. And so when God tells him something, he does what he's asked. He gets peace about a situation when again, just think about it. If you were put in that situation or other situations, if Joseph doesn't believe what God says, I mean, Joseph doesn't get any peace about the situation. And how many people nowadays, they will not believe God and they have no peace about things. And the reason is there's no consolation. And so there's consolation in believing what God said about it. There's consolation in having the right interpretation because you have God's opinion about it. But outside of that, there's just not much consolation or peace. So anyhow, three things about Joseph that I think are very, very good, helpful things. His mercy, he's a merciful man. His consolation, he gets peace because he believes the words of God. And his walk, his behavior, he obeys what God said, and in doing so, he preserves the life of his family, he preserves the life of Jesus Christ, and does exactly what God asked him to do. And then, you know, after Herod died, they moved back over to Nazareth and all that kind of thing. So that's Joseph. That is Joseph. He's not a whole lot is said about him, but what's said about him is all good, just all good stuff. So let's pray, and then we'll take some prayer requests. Father, I pray it's been helpful. Joseph is such a great character in the Bible. I can't think of anything bad you said about him. It seemed like everything that's written is good about him, and just a good man. No wonder you chose him to be the stepdad or the foster dad of Jesus Christ. But I pray that we could learn what we need to learn from this. Just his faithfulness, his kindness, he doesn't have a hasty spirit about him. He's forgiving, he's gentle, all those things. Thank you for your words. Thank you for the truth. And thank you for each soul that's here this evening. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.